you're still the same mosquito, sure. Whether you're going to your human or your horse or birds.
Yeah.
To,
you don't care.
You don't care. Yeah. I mean, you might prefer one above the other, but it's still the same information that we need. So it doesn't make sense that two agencies would collect the same information separately. Yeah.
Science on the Menu, a podcast by the European Food Safety Authority.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Science on the Menu. My name is James, I'll be your host for today's podcast. And today we're delving into the world of vector-borne diseases, which is an important area of EFSA's work on animal health. What are vector-borne diseases, you might be wondering? Well, simply put, they're diseases, pathogens, that are transmitted to humans and animals from vectors like mosquitoes, sandflies, fleas, and so on. You'll probably be familiar with some of the more well-known diseases like malaria, chikungunya, blue tongue maybe, and we'll be talking about those today, as well as some of the other vector-borne diseases that affect animals. And to talk us through the work we're doing in this area, I'm very happy to welcome our guest to the show, Sophie Dolander. Sophie, hello. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Maybe before we jump into everything, you could just start by giving us a bit of information about your background, how you come to be working in this area at EFSA. So we start from there.
So I'm a veterinarian, as you said. I'm Belgian, and I work in EFSA since 17 years, but before I have been working about 7 years in Africa and Asia, because I specialize in tropical animal health. And in EFSA, since 17 years, I'm dealing with risk assessments on animal health, mainly African swine fever and vector-borne diseases.
Okay, so really with field experience, so you have a direct experience in the field working in Africa. Where were you in Africa?
Well, I started to work in the Gambia, where there is a what they call trypanosome tolerance center at that time.
It's,
they mainly focused on trypanosomosis, which is a disease that is transmitted by tsetse flies, and you know it under the name sleeping disease or sleeping sickness.
Sleeping sickness, yeah.
But we focused on in West Africa, it's mainly affecting animals.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe sleeping disease for humans, that's more in East Africa.
Yeah.
And in West Africa, in Gambia, we did research, but also helped farmers, let's say, with horses that had sleeping disease as a return for the samples we took.
And is that a big problem? Big problem there?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, for especially for horses, which value a lot for farmers there. But of course, also for cattle, sheep and goat, they get it, but they don't die because they are tolerant. That's why it's called trypanotolerant animals. But horses will die, and chronically, after a long sickness, they will die if you don't treat it.
Yeah, okay. So important research there that you're doing. I mean, when we think of Africa and vector-borne diseases, malaria comes to mind. So I guess you see this around around you everywhere, I think, when you're in countries like the Gambia.
That's right. Yeah, it's very important. People living there have, of course, they still get malaria, but there is a little bit of immunity, I can't say, but if we people that have never lived in Africa, or white people, let's say, get it, you get much more sick. Like I had to live it myself.
Yeah, you were telling me before you came, before we came on air. Yeah. So what happened in your case?
Well, specifically, I was always quite strict in thinking I should not take any treatments before it's confirmed, because there's a lot of resistance. So I thought, let's have a check, because I didn't feel well. And then it turned out that I was negative. So I thought, okay, I have a flu, so let's sit it out and take some paracetamol. But then I waited too long.
Yeah.
And so after several days, my blood was so full of parasites that I was lucky that a colleague came to knock at my door to see how I was. I was hospitalized for 1 week. I almost stayed there, actually. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It can go very fast, and it causes a lot of death.
So what is, I mean, I can't even imagine what that must be like. You're in the Gambia, away from, I don't know, friends, family, you have to rely on the local healthcare system there. What's that like?
It's you are confronted, of course, because it's packed with people in the hospital. They don't have beds for everyone. So there are different conditions people have to face.
Okay. But you came out the other side, let's just say, which is great.
Whatever doesn't kill you makes you strong.
Okay, yeah. Very good. And then after Africa, you came back to Europe, and now you're here at EFSA. Maybe just explain a little bit about what you do here in the EFSA team.
So in the EFSA team, currently I'm responsible for a mandate on vector-borne diseases, where we are asked to assess the risk of introduction of those diseases or pathogens into Europe, but also the spread from one country to another country and the impact. So, for instance, our risk managers, like the Commission, can see where they have to focus their resources on, what is at higher risk, but also the people in the member states, they can see what type of surveillance, etc., is more appropriate to be more preventive or more prepared for these diseases.
Okay. Mm. So we just spoke about malaria, which is obviously a vector-borne disease that people primarily associate with humans affecting human health. Here at EFSA, we're focused primarily, I would say, on animal health. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could give us a couple of examples of the kind of vector-borne diseases that we are keeping an eye on or have to be careful about here in the EU.
Yeah. So, of course, we are collaborating with our let's say, sisters agency in Stockholm, the European Centre for Disease Control, that is focusing on the public health aspects.
Yeah.
Where we are more focusing on the animal health, like you said. Many of those vector-borne diseases are zoonotic, so they actually affect both human and animals. But some of them will have no clinical signs in animals, and others will. So we are, of course, prioritizing as animal health team on those vector-borne diseases that have more impact on animal health. But of course, we also deal with zoonotic diseases, and we collaborate with ECDC for those. Yeah. So
what's the most, concerning or impactful animal vector-borne disease that affects animals in the EU at the moment?
Oh, that's a good question. I think we have several diseases at the moment. We have blue tongue that had a very big impact in 2023-24. It was a new serotype of blue tongue, blue tongue 3, that was introduced in the Netherlands, and it was mainly affecting sheep and caused a lot of mortality. I'm speaking about thousands of animals that have died because of blue tongue. Yeah, it spread in the meanwhile to other countries throughout the year. We have, of course, EHD, that is a new introduced disease
EHD.
EHD, it's an epizootic hemorrhagic disease. It's affecting deer, white-tailed deer mainly, and cattle. Mm-hmm. So it will cause mortality mainly in deer, but also in cattle. Yeah. And it was introduced in Italy and then has further spread to Spain
France. And these are not, I understand blue tongue is not zoonotic, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, okay. But it can have a massive impact on trade, local economy, absolutely, national economies.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's right. I mean, we had another epidemic of blue tongue that was more known to everyone, maybe in 2006. And that was due to a change in vector competence. So it moved northwards, and it was killing about 1.5 million animals.
Really?
So it can have a huge
impact. What do you mean by vector competence? So,
I mean, not all, in this case, they are biting midges for blue tongue. Not all midges are the same. You have many different species, and some species are capable of transmitting a specific virus and others not. So when they are capable of transmitting it, then we call them competent vector. And maybe I should also mention there are different types of vector-borne diseases, because we have those that are biological, transmitted by biological vectors. That means that the virus also gets a cycle in the insect. But you have also vector-borne diseases that vectors that sit on the animal and then transport it to some other animal just by transporting it like a vehicle outside or on the mouth parts.
Yeah.
But it's not really getting a cycle of development in the insect. So that we call it mechanical transmission. But both are vector transmission.
Yeah, okay. So with those two examples that you gave, EHD and blue tongue, I guess there we're talking about the effect, the impact it might have on farm animals, for example. But I know from being a dog owner recently that there are also vector-borne diseases that can affect pets as well.
Sure, yeah.
So Leishmania, I think, is one that people might be familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, so Leishmania is not transmitted by midges, but by sandflies. Mm-hmm. So the competent sandfly vectors, let's say, they are more in the Mediterranean area, so you will get Leishmania as a dog when you live in Italy, but not, for instance, in the Netherlands.
Okay.
Of course, you can go on holiday in Italy and get it there, but they are not locally, let's say, established, these vectors that can transmit. And it causes rashes on the skin, and of course, it can also affect people. Mm-hmm. So In Europe, we have mainly the cutaneous form of Leishmania, but worldwide, you also have many people dying from Leishmania, also from the visceral form of Leishmania, that is more rare here.
Okay. And so the advice I think I got from my vet was vaccinations. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And collars, I would say definitely also vaccines are protecting, but not 100%. Like you remember with the COVID, you don't have 100% protection.
Yeah.
So I would definitely also put collars or spray to protect from insect, from the sandfly bites then. Yeah.
Okay. So we talked a bit about different types of vector-borne diseases, some affecting humans, others animals, sometimes both.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned also the work that we're doing with our sister agency, the European Centre for Disease Prevention and Control. Can you just explain a little bit more how that works and what exactly it is we are doing together with ECDC and maybe the member states when it comes to sort of combating vector-borne diseases?
Okay. Okay, yeah, we have with diseases ECDC since more than 10 years now, a collaboration that we call VectorNet. So both ECDC and EFSA, we are putting money together to fund a consortium that organizes a lot of work to help us with our risk assessment, but mainly also to collect data on vectors. So where are the mosquitoes that are competent for instance, Rift Valley fever, another disease, or West Nile fever. There are many vector-borne diseases that have different vector species that are relevant. So we collect this information in a harmonized way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we support them, VectorNet, to organize that, but also to organize an annual meeting with our One Health VectorNet Entomological Network, which is like about 40 people from both veterinary and the public health side that come together, and they are really experts on this type of data collection. And when there are new evidence or new events in the EU, then we discuss how we better can control and prevent.
So that's really we hear a lot about this One Health approach. It's something EFSA is really kind of fully supportive of and behind, and this, I guess, is One Health in practice.
Where yes, we absolutely.
Add the public health bit with the animal health bit.
I think here, for instance, the mosquito, if you're a mosquito transmitting West Nile fever, you're still the same mosquito, whether you are going to your human or your horse or birds.
Yeah.
You
don't care.
You don't care. Yeah. I mean, you might prefer one above the other, but it's still the same information that we need. So it doesn't make sense that two agencies would collect the same information separately.
And these experts that you're talking about, they come, the network you have, the experts are coming from the member states.
So we have a system that we have an official network that they are appointed by our focal points, and mm-hmm. they see which expert is the best representative to come to such a network.
Okay. Mm. So it's really a European-wide
European-wide approach. And also the neighboring countries, countries.
Okay, very good. Okay, you touched there just a moment ago on looking at competent vectors, the spread, and so on. What factors, you know, influence or have an impact on how vectors spread? And do we notice changes in the way that vectors have been spreading over recent years?
Yes, that's a good question, because there are many ways how a vector can spread. What we do see is, for instance, some reports of the World Organization of Animal Health report that more and more new events or extreme events are more north. Mm. You know that vectors are influenced by temperature, by humidity, by vegetation. So. Mm. Like all of us, we are actually impacted by climate change. So definitely mosquito will be impacted by climate change.
Yeah.
But of course, it's always difficult to find the direct cause of an outbreak. Because like I mentioned, the blue tongue outbreak in 2006, it moved very suddenly. The whole of Europe was infected by this new BTV8 serotype. Mm. And this is, of course, not because of climate or weather. It cannot go so fast. I mean, it was because a change in the competence of the vector that were more limited to the south of the EU. And then suddenly all the vectors in the north, not all, but some, were also competent. So it can completely change the picture. So sometimes we have to also be careful if we say it's climate, sure. because it's not always climate.
Yep.
But clearly, climate does have an impact, because seasons are getting longer. So temperatures are higher in February. It's humid.
Yeah.
So mosquitoes start coming up earlier.
I noticed that even in my own garden here in Parma, North Italy, you know, we have the tiger mosquito.
Yes.
And I think when I came here, you know, 10, 15 years ago, there was a clear kind of period during the year when, you know, you would see the presence of the tiger mosquito, and then it would stop during the winter months. But now it seems that they're more present for longer during the year. And in some cases, in some cases you see them in December, January.
This tiger mosquito is a real nuisance in Parma. Mm. It is being introduced in Italy in the 90s, and now it's, I think, in more than 20 countries in the EU, so definitely spreading all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's especially a nuisance because it's attacking during day, while compared to our usual mosquitoes that we were having since many years, that attack you more
in the down. What tips would you share with us? You know, how do we protect ourselves from some of the more common diseases that we might get from these nasty vectors?
Yes. Well, for the human diseases, like you said, it's very important to wear long clothes and socks in the evening, and use repellent and mosquito nets. Of course, if you're going to the tropical areas, it's very important to protect you, to get vaccinations for those that are having a vaccine.
Yep.
And that's the same for the dogs, like you mentioned before. You can vaccinate some animals, you can protect them with repellents. It's very important.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot,
thanks
Sophie.
To you.
Thank you very much. That's all we've got time for on today's podcast. Thank you very much for being with us. If you'd like to listen to more about EFSA's work, you can find our podcast series Science on the Menu anywhere you get your podcast. We mentioned the European Centre for Disease Prevention and Control during this episode. They too have a very interesting podcast. So if you'd like to hear more about what they do, I encourage you to check that out. And we'll see you next time. Thank you very much and goodbye.